Okay, again, another, hold on. I think I found it. It's the Launchpad. It's a podcast with me, J-Man. And I want to get the name right. Diane Lanthier?
Lanthier, however you want to say it.
Right, whether you're French or English, right? Or care too much to focus on pronunciation, I guess. I'm lazy. Right. But I'm so happy to have you here. Season 2, Episode 2. And you are an empowerment coach. Explain to people what that means.
So I'm also an energy healer. And what I do is help people clear out and change, release anything that's disempowering. So it can be thoughts, you know, beliefs, it can be emotions, it can be traumatic memories from the past. So anything that is not allowing you to be in your power, or anything that doesn't feel good, we can release and change that so that you get back to your natural place of feeling good and positive and powerful. That stuff is all in there.
Okay, fantastic. Now, the reason
you
why...
You don't have to go to Walmart to buy it, so it's perfect. You can just like deep dive and find it within.
Okay, good. So... the reason why I'm having you on, very much like I had Tanis on, my previous guest, is that I think right now that you have a skill set that not only is empowering when things aren't all bonkers, but especially right now when you're talking about being bombarded with news, being bombarded with social media, and speaking of power, I believe that's where a lot of people give their power away. How important it is for people to focus on keeping their power within. And I know that you're on social media. We go back and forth on social media. You made a post on social media that you want to discuss that I thought was really interesting in regards to people's physical well-being in contrast with their psychological well-being.
Yeah, well, it just occurred to me that, you know, we're all focused on our physical well-being and you know, having your physical game, you know, like you're staying home, you're wearing gloves or masks, you're taking care when you're going outside, all of that stuff. Well, yeah, there's that part too. Like,
well, you're not talking about my pictures with my tops off. You mean actually people physically putting masks on. Okay, I gotcha.
Talking about your prison mic pictures. No, I was talking about how people are taking care of themselves with a social isolation or physical isolation and that physical aspect of protection. But you know, what often goes out the window is, and everybody's talking about self-care as well. Like I see a lot of that, but I think we can go even beyond that, right? So there's a level of self-care, which is, you know, doing the meditation and people doing yoga and taking care of their bodies that way and finding what they can mentally. But there's such a greater space of empowered thought and being that's possible for people. And you know, like I keep saying to people, focus on the end result. Stop focusing on the numbers. Stop focusing on how long it's going to take. Just keep your eye on the ball and it's like visualization 101. It's law of attraction 101. Focus on what you want. For me, I think about going back to work. I think about, you know, going shopping. I think about going to Le Nordique. I think about getting a massage. I think about all of these things and I'm keeping my mind on the things that I desire instead of on where things are going badly, right?
Okay. So where can people make these adjustments in their language? So I'm writing a personal development book. I've read numerous personal development books. I put the work in and words are powerful. And the words that you speak, you're not only sharing them with other people, but the first person that you're talking to is yourself, right?
Right.
So what are the words right now that people can use, right? Or just should generally be using? Let's just forget that we're living in this world for a second. Everything's normal, okay?
Yeah.
This is how we should be interacting with ourselves. But what are the words that we should be using right now to empower ourselves? And then let's get into a couple of words that we should maybe not use at all or make sure that we self-correct shortly thereafter we use them.
So for me, it's not so much about words. So I don't know if you had, because we were talking about this before we started recording, and I don't know if you had specific thoughts about that, because I don't really think in terms of words necessarily. For me, what's really the most important is your energy. It's maybe you're saying words and you're thinking thoughts. I really focus on what's the energy underneath something. So I'll give you an example of that. You must know Wayne Dyer, Dr. Dyer.
I sure do.
Yeah, sure do. Okay. And when, so Dyer did an interview years ago with Abraham Hicks, the lady who channels Abraham, right? So they're really, really well known in Law of Attraction. And they did an interview, and Wayne said to Abraham that he was a big fan of the I am statements. I am this, I am that, you know, like the affirmations. And Abraham responded with, what's more important than your words is your energy. You can be saying, I am rich, I am rich, I am rich all day long. But if underneath that you have fear of running out of money, or you have fear of not having enough, or you feel like you're about to be on the street, or you're not rich, that's what's going to create in the universe. It's not your words. It's what you're carrying underneath the words. So the energy is more important than the words. Does that make sense?
It sure does. So what can people do then to improve their energy?
So I do energy healing work, and I use EFT tapping. I also do Reiki like Tanis.
Okay.
But
explain tapping to people, by the way.
Yeah. So EFT is short for emotional freedom techniques. So that's the primary tool I use, although mine's like a smorgasbord of different things. But EFT tapping is called tapping because you tap on points of the meridians. So yesterday you were talking to Tanis about chakras, right?
Yeah,
chakras.
Like, is there one down there, by the way?
Yes, she wasn't lying. Of course there is.
No, I'm talking about this tapping thing.
Oh, no.
No, okay.
No, I mean, you can do that if you want.
Aina's going to call it slapping. All right, but go ahead. These are not professional. I'm sorry. Oh, and quickly, before we get into the tapping a little bit more, just tell people your website or where they can find you online. So they can look at this stuff while we're having this conversation.
Yeah, my website is soulrestoration.ca. My Facebook page is Diane Lantier 111. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Okay. And Gallant Media, thank you so much to my sponsor. Love you lots. Now, back to tapping with Diane Lantier.
Okay. So yesterday you talked to Tanis about chakras and energy. And chakras are energy centers in this whole system of meridians. And meridians carry energy like veins carry blood. So when you go to an acupuncturist, acupuncturists know the whole meridian system inside and out. And when they're poking those needles into the different places, they're poking them into the meridian system. And the belief is that all of these different meridians relate to physical parts of the body, they relate to emotions, they relate to, you know, your organs, they relate to even time zones. So that's how they're working with it. When you do tapping, you tap on different parts of this head. And
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. The collarbone. And so different parts like that. And then you're clearing, what the idea is that you're clearing blockages in the energy system by tapping on these points without having to know which meridian is affected. That's the sort of basic, in a nutshell, you know, description of what tapping does. And you can really, truly, and I've been doing this for 15 years, you can release any negative belief, thought, feeling, anything that doesn't feel good, anything that's disempowering. So even when people think this is not possible, like this is not possible, those are words you want to avoid. If you find yourself, this is impossible, this is not possible, is there anything more disempowering than believing something is impossible? The problem is people will think that's their reality because, well, look at the world. This is the world. This is not possible. This is what I'm being told. And so we believe what the world is telling us and what we see with our eyes. But if you release those beliefs, as true as they may seem, what emerges naturally is a different possibility. Mm. And I know it seems weird, but it is true. I've seen it for 15 years. And I'll give you an example. This lady I was working with, I do like these 5-session packages. So we were on like 2 or 3. And in the first 2, we worked on, she did some hoarding and she had anxiety. And she had a child with some difficult issues. And so she had a problem. She couldn't find a job. She was convinced that she couldn't find a job because of all of these different issues. So we worked on her anxiety, on her stress, the hoarding stuff, and this belief that she couldn't find a job. And then I think it was at the 3rd session, she told me that she'd gotten a job. It just kind of fell in her lap. And it met all her criteria, you know, like the times that she could work, the traveling, like all of the things that she thought weren't possible to find a job that met all of her difficult criteria. One actually was just kind of presented itself to her. When she opened up to the possibility that it was possible, it happened. Mm-hmm. And that happens over and over and over again.
Right, with people's energy. I've read numerous times, and you know, you have the whole I am thing, I am, and there's a lot of these, you know, I am nots, right? Where yeah. people shut themselves off to possibilities, not to mention people, generally these things come, like they're fear-based, correct? Yeah. They're fear-based, and I'd say that generally it comes from a feeling that they're not good enough for whatever yeah. it might be. So that's pretty accurate. So for people that are suffering from low self-esteem, from people that are obviously right now, you know, they're sitting in their homes and they kind of find themselves slipping away. Or I've heard on a number of occasions, not just obviously today, but just, you know, throughout my lifetime, where people have these moments where they kind of crumble inside a little bit. Where, you know, they'll come home, they might have a short little cry into their hands, and then they say, you know, like, I'm okay. Like, are these people okay? Or is that like a more of an underlying issue? Do you just have little teeny breakdowns like that? Or is it saying that is symptomatic of potentially something more that needs to be resolved energy-wise?
Well, I mean, I think that's, so first of all, it's a normal, natural human thing to happen. Like, I mean, I've been doing my own healing work for years and years and years and years, as well as with clients. And I still have my moments where I'm judgy or I think something's not possible. Like, I mean, I still have those moments. It's just that I'm able to normally catch them and then switch them. So I always tell people, having the awareness that you're functioning from a certain belief, it's not to make you wrong. Like, you don't then kick yourself for, oh, if I was like doing this. No, it's just have the awareness and then use tools to switch it and change that into something more positive. So it's totally normal to have those like moments. But for some people, you know, if you're, here's the thing, if you're just surviving, if you're just hanging on day to day, I mean, there's a much better possibility available. You do have to do the work, you know.
Oh, and I thought you were gonna say alcohol for sure. I thought that was alcohol or some type of drug. No, listen, okay, sorry.
We won't go there.
We should go there. Oh, oh yeah, chink in the armor. There we go. Let's deep dive on that. You have such a great sense of humor. You know, it's incredible because you're a very serious person, and obviously we're talking about some serious things. But you have an incredible sense of humor. Like you're a very, very funny person. And yeah, but go ahead. Well, I saw the little break right there. If it happens again, I'm ripping this whole thing open. So go ahead.
Oh no, I was just like, I mean, we've talked about this, the whole LCBO liquor stores being open. I don't get it as an essential service. I mean, there's alcohol available in the grocery stores. I just think for me, the frustration is the work that I do is so good. Like, I'm a good practitioner. I'm an excellent practitioner. But also the tool, like EFT is used around the world. It is an amazing tool in skilled hands. It works. But it's so woo-woo. It's so out there. And it's not, you know what I mean? It's not mainstream. But yes, by all means, let's feed people's addictions to alcohol. But shit that works, we just keep that out of the mainstream. It's woo-woo. You know, people have to pay out of their pocket. Like, it's just, it drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. Because again, like, I know that I'm not for everybody. And I know the stuff I do isn't for everybody. It's just frustrating to be in a position of doing something that really, really works to help people get free. Like, I'm not talking managing. I'm talking about like getting free of anxiety and stress. Like, I've helped a lot of people release anxiety. And then I teach them to use the tools so that if something comes up, then they can do the tapping themselves. So they're not living with the anxiety, depression, sadness, grief, like all of these different things, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, alcohol is an essential. It just boggles my mind.
I'm drinking so much. It's ridiculous. I like my alcohol. I don't think I drink tons. My alcohol consumption is most definitely going through the roof. And last time that I was at the grocery store, I asked the clerk and I said, like, booze sales must be crazy. And I guess as much as people appreciate the job that they're doing, is that there's not a lot of conversation, I find, because people kind of just don't want to be breathing, whether it's because they're afraid or they're just trying to be they're trying to be responsible by not potentially making anybody else sick. So she seemed kind of surprised at us having this conversation with her. She said, you would not believe. Like, at the grocery store, that's not where people get booze. But now that is like the place. These grocery stores are going to come out doing really well. I think a lot of people are probably going to stick with this practice of drinking the alcohol. But it's obvious
not, listen, I'm not, and sounds like I'm judging. I'm not judging it. It's just, for me, again, I see so much potential for people to just feel so good and create different things for themselves in life. But we have, you know, we live in a society of survival, basically, and manage shit, you know? And I just always am searching for beyond just managing something. Yeah.
And I don't think that you're being judgmental at all, because
I'm wearing my pajama pants. I'm not wearing my judgy pants.
I will.
You know, sometimes I have my sassy pants.
There we go. Surprise. At least this time I'm wearing pants. Little did Tannis know. But I know that when I drink, and I'm drinking as a form of escapism or just to kind of take the edge off if I've had a bad day, I generally don't feel great the next day. I already feel like I'm a step behind because I haven't resolved anything.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Oh, shit. You're not allowed to ask questions. Go ahead.
So what makes you drink to take the edge off instead of saying, hey, Diane, can I try that tapping stuff with you?
Right. I'm like, this is rhetorical, right? Just to make me look stupid.
I'm honestly curious. I'm curious because it can't always be like, again, I'm aware that I'm not for everybody and what I do is not for everybody. Mm-hmm. But I'm always curious about how people decide, like why people decide not to try something that's a little different that might actually work.
I think why people do. Okay, well, you put it in different words so my brain can digest it. So I can answer this. I got it. You know, we're talking about empowerment and people wanting to keep their power and sometimes not knowing the difference between what keeping your power really is or what empowering yourself really is. For instance, if I was an alcoholic, let's take this next level. Okay, but if I was an alcoholic, I don't want to go to that 12-step program, right? Because I'm not in control. when in reality, to go to that 12-step program and be aware enough that to know that you have a problem, that's actually you taking some of your control back. And I think for somebody to go to somebody else, it's them kind of, they might feel that they're crumbling and I can't do this on my own, but not realizing that that crumbling is exactly what's going to lead to their salvation. They have to hit that rock bottom.
Do you think that's more of a male perspective?
Well, I'm a dude. Like, I don't know what else you want me to do. I can't do any better than that. If it's a female, you know what? I guess.
No, I mean, because I can't put myself in a man's brain anymore.
Stop challenging me. Okay. Finally, this shit went off the rails. I've been trying all this whole goddamn interview. Fuck. Finally. Okay. Now we're into the good shit. Nothing's getting accomplished.
So I can't put myself in a man's brain, but I have a friend that I have these conversations with about like how we think differently. And so that's why I'm curious from your perspective, because what you just said, I don't know, it sounds like a sort of traditionally male idea that you can't ask for help and you have to deal with shit yourself. So I was just curious if you saw it as...
No, I just think it might be just different things for different sexes, right? Like, for instance, if it was domestic abuse, right? Just a number of different things where, I mean, I don't think alcoholism is necessarily a male thing. I don't know why.
I wasn't saying, I wasn't saying the alcoholism.
It came from a male perspective. Yeah, no, I understand.
I'm saying the idea of not asking for help.
Yeah, I think that's just...
That if I ask for help, I'm not in control.
A human thing. I think that's a human thing. Is that the hardest thing, I think, for a person to do sometimes, which is why we see all this stuff with mental health awareness, etc., that if you need someone to talk to, you know, I'm here. You know, they posted on their Facebook. You know, I appreciate that kind of stuff. The reality of mental illness is that you got to go a little bit deeper than that. I mean, it's nice to raise the awareness, but if you're not reaching out to your friends and you're not really challenging them sometimes on the way that they feel, that you're never really going to get to the root of it. And that I really believe that it comes from a place of consistency. If you're really going to look to help that person create or acknowledge that change to where they get to a person like yourself, right? Because you have to catch them at that moment of weakness, generally speaking, right? So unfortunately, do you find that you're catching people, you know, at their worst? And what you're hoping is that people will come see you when they're not there. So maybe it's a little bit less work to get to where they want to be.
Oh, no, I'm not afraid of the work. I mean...
No, not the work. Okay. But for them, wouldn't it be just... Do you hope that these people don't hit rock bottom? Or do you find that for a person to become more malleable with the things that you want to present to them, they kind of have to be there?
So, I don't know if this answers your question, but I'll try to answer it. There are people who will never, ever call me because they're stuck in the problem. The idea of help, the idea of even going beyond what's happening is it's not even a possibility. So those people are never, they're not, you know, those are the kinds of people that talk about a problem and want to convince you about their problem instead of hear any other possibilities, right? Like, have you tried this? Have you tried that? And they're like, no, they're just completely closed off. Mm-hmm. So people like that, it's not about how far they've gone down their problem. It's about their openness to try something different.
Great. So who needs you right now? Who needs you today?
Everybody, Chase.
Everybody.
But, you know, like, for example, so, and then the other thing you were talking about going, I'm afraid to say this, you were talking about going deeper. And it's important. I can't believe you didn't.
Oh, it took me a while. Now I know. Sorry, that was innuendo. I'm sorry. Like, whoa.
Oh, my God.
Hello.
I'm disappointed.
Yeah. I know. I'm all talk. I'm
Yeah, no, that's why I used to offer single sessions, and I have for quite some time now offered 5 session and 10 session packages, because even though you can get a lot done in one session, if you really want to transform your life, you have to go back and heal, childhood stuff, you know, things you were talking earlier about not feeling like feeling worthy. Not feeling worthy normally comes from childhood. And you don't have to have been beaten by your parents to feel shitty about yourself. You can have had really great parents and still come out feeling shitty. It could be things that happened in school. It really is about like the juxtaposition between like you, your insides, and then growing up with people around you and what they're teaching you. It just, it throws us off. And then it leaves us, you know, we learn about ourselves through the world around us.
I'm surprised.
And we continue doing that because we keep giving our power away to other people.
So I'm surprised that you don't see that happening maybe a little bit more as people get older, opposed to the stuff that generally happens when they're younger. You know, the way that I've kind of always seen it, you know, in my head, if I have to just visualize it, it's, you know, you're a kid and you say you want to be a firefighter and your parents are like, yeah. And, you know, you say, I want to be a doctor. And like, yeah, you know, you might even be a little bit slow like me. And I say, I want to do this. And like, yeah, you're good. And then as you get older, then people start piling on their limitations, you know, on your back, right? You know, I'm 16 years old and my grades aren't so good. And I still say like, you know, I'd love to do this. And someone says, well, you know, you don't have the grades, or it shows that you really don't have the aptitude for that, or possibly you should go this direction. Do you find that that also, if you had to choose one or the other, where are most people getting stuck? Was that a good or bad question? That pause. That's a bad question.
I think there's always childhood stuff to clear out.
Always.
Always. Yeah. And if there isn't, if somebody doesn't have good memories or just can't find it, I mean, I see it as my job to dig, to find the root of things. Uh-huh. So here's an example. Years and years ago, I did a psychic fair, and I decided instead of doing readings, I want to do this work. And this, I saw this guy walk around like three times, finally end up at my booth. And he said, I really want to work with you, and let's start with 20 minutes. And I have this anger. I don't know why this anger. So I started asking him questions. And found out that, I think it was like around age 10 or something, his parents had divorced. He never thought about it. Like, he never thought about it as an event that created anger. But when I started asking him the questions, it came up that he still had anger about this divorce when he was 10. But he had sort of like compartmentalized it, or thought he was over it or whatever. But then all of this rage was still sitting inside of him. So we ended up doing more than 20 minutes. I think we ended up working together for like an hour because he was so happy with like the relief he was getting. But like, that's an example of him not realizing he had a childhood event. But then once I asked the questions, we found it and we were able to clear it out and to clear out all of the anger. And then he felt like much better afterwards because he didn't have that anger sitting inside of him. So it is very rare that somebody wouldn't have childhood stuff from parents, from family, teachers that have affected them or marked them in some way that then affects how they go through life, how they perceive life and other people. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody has abandonment issues, somebody's abandoned you at one point or you felt abandoned.
Yeah, I'm an adopted child. You're preaching to the choir.
We've got to go to that first event where that person felt abandoned.
Right.
And clear it out.
So what's a small little practice? You know, I don't want to give away, you know, all your techniques or anything of that nature, but is there something that we can just quickly just run over like in 60 seconds or, you know, 2 minutes, just a quick little practice that people can do at home to kind of just give themselves a little bit of a check?
I could run through a basic EFT tapping round. I'm not a big fan of like doing tapping just in a general way because it can open up a box that I'm not there to close.
So here's what we're going to do then.
Sorry, I'm talking about opening boxes.
This is perfect. I actually, you know what? This is something like I know that you're very serious about your craft and you want to make sure that like you don't, yeah, like you're not leaving something unfinished. So if you're interested in tapping, I don't even know what I said anymore. Your mind is polluted. I don't even know what's going on there today. But if you're looking into tapping,
you'll get it when you listen to this.
When it plays on the Facebook watch party. Now the reason why I really like these the Facebook watch parties. Oh, what? I was on a roll. You stopped me on my own podcast. It's my own podcast. You're like, shut up. Wait. Go ahead.
No, I do want to encourage people to really be self-aware of the thoughts that you have running in your head, of where you're thinking something is impossible. And at least, even if you don't have the tools, or, you know, you can look up EFT tapping. I'm wary of, you know, going down a path that you can't finish by yourself.
Oh, I got that one. I hope all my podcasts go like this.
Trying really hard.
This is great. This is great.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay. I would encourage everybody to just really be aware of what you're thinking, of what you're believing. And I know that when you're used to believing that there's, you know, finite possibilities and you're limited by the world around you, you're stuck in that belief. All I can do is tell you that's not true.
Is it my turn now? Okay. That's great. Now I can talk. Are you good?
Yeah,
you're good. Okay. Great. Yeah. See that? Empowerment right there. Just steamrolled me. But that's all good stuff. So we're approaching about 30 minutes. And, you know, I want to finish off with a couple other things unrelated to the work stuff. So like I was saying before, you know, you have a very good sense of humor. What's the stuff that you're seeing on the internet that you really like? What's the stuff that's making you laugh? You know, is there a clip that you can think of? What's rocking and rolling with you right now as far as sense of humor and the things that are really, you know, kind of like it lifting you up a little bit, putting a smile on your face?
Listen, I love GIFs and memes. I can have GIF is my third language. Mm-hmm. My friend sent me one today, this video of a dog with like this really long, you know, like little dogs carry like gigantic sticks. Mm-hmm. And it said like dogs have the best, social isolation technique.
Just keep people away. I like that. Yeah. Hey, by the way, if you're listening right now, I want you to put your favorite GIF into the comments. Put your funniest GIF, and then we have a whole bunch to look from. What else do you have right there? Whatever you hear coming out of Diane's mouth, I want you to post them.
I mean, I love, like, my one of my favorite GIFs is Janet Jackson eating popcorn. Like, it's true, though. That's one of my favorite GIFs.
Yeah. I like You Fancy. That's mine. Anything You Fancy.
You Fancy.
That's all it takes for me.
Like my cream cheese omelets.
Yeah, right.
Scrambled eggs.
But there's definitely, you know what? That's the thing. Like as far as people's creativity. Oh, one of these TikToks. I'll have to put this up. It's a Phil Collins song. And there's this lady walking up the stairs.
I sent that to you.
Oh, that was you. There we go. Yes. See, that's perfect. That's, you know what? That's the perfect place to end right there. I'll make sure that I post that and people take a look. But the creativity, right? And this is, I guess, where
amazing. You're
talking about like where to come from and being empowered and your energy and things of that nature. Yes, there's a lot of craziness that's going on right now, but there's so much innovation, which is incredible. You know, the social medias, the TikToks and stuff like that. People are having fun and they're entertaining the world. Which is really awesome. And there have been so many hard laughs that I've had over these last 2 weeks that probably I otherwise would not have had.
And that, like that guy on Instagram, D Nice, that DJ who spun for like 6 hours on Saturday,
right?
Had like 100,000 people watching him play music on Instagram. I mean, some people are choosing to be super creative and some people are choosing to just feel completely flattened. And the thing is, it is a choice. And people don't like when I say that, but it's a choice, you know?
Happiness
and
is a choice.
I just love seeing the creativity coming out. I just love it. It just makes me so happy.
Right. So two books that I just want to recommend, just since you mentioned, Happiness is a Choice. I always like to talk about that book by Barry Neil Kaufman. Absolutely love it. And You Can Be Happy no matter what. Don't Sweat the Small Stuff is another good one. Just for, you know, I consider those to be kind of beginner books, but they're fantastic. Diane, give me one book that you think somebody should read. Oh, actually.
Yeah, right?
Bam, your book. Check it out right there. And I've actually, so I'm just reading, I'm finishing my massive Tony Robbins book, and I've had this one actually out on my table. Now, yeah. Lately, there has not been anyone in my house, but when the world was normal, people were flipping through this book and they loved it. They absolutely loved
great.
It. Yes, I should have told you that before, but I knew that I was going to be doing one of these with you. And so,
so listen, anybody who wants a copy of that book, I have an e-copy. So if anybody wants the e-copy, you can message me. I'm sure Jason, you'll tag me in this. You can message me and I'd be happy to send it to your email.
Okay.
I'm not going to send out hard copies, obviously, but I can send an e-copy.
So one more time, your website, please. Where
Soul
can people
Restoration,
find you?
Soulrestoration.ca.
Okay.
And on Facebook, it's facebook.com/DianeLantier111.
So this was the Diane Lantier podcast. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You were fantastic.
That
was
me.
Awesome stuff. It's all about you. No, that was that was great. That was insightful. I appreciate you being here. And again, to
Thanks
my sponsor, no problem, Gallant Media, for websites, graphic design, print, promo, all that kind of stuff with incredible deals. Thank you so much, Sean, for helping me out with this podcast. You take care, be well, and love simply because you can.